Hey everyone, welcome back. We are in the middle of this series that we've called Now What? Lessons from the Desert. And basically the idea is that we have found ourselves right now in the midst of an in-between space. And in the Bible, that in-between space is usually represented as the desert, right? It's not only a particularly hard and difficult space, but it's also a space where God equips us and leads us and teaches us. And so what we are attempting to do in this series is, while we're here in this space, to learn the lessons from the desert. So last week, our lesson was about lament. It was about expressing externally the things that are happening to us internally. But that's not the only part of the story in terms of how we relate to what's going on in the desert around us. So today I want to invite us into a family conversation that centers around Moses and his father-in-law. Moses is the one who leads the Israelites out of the desert, and he spends 40 years there. But honestly, Moses spent most of his life in the desert. There are lots of stories of Moses experiencing life in the desert. But our story in particular comes just one chapter after the space we were in last week, after when Moses brought water out of the rock. And this is a story where Moses' father-in-law, his name is Jethro, he comes to visit him in the desert. And while they're there, Moses begins to tell him all these stories about what God has been doing in the desert with the Israelite community and through his leadership. And so let's pick up that story in Exodus chapter 18. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel and rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. In fact, Jethro is so excited to hear these stories that this is what happens next. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods. This is Jethro talking. For he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. Aaron came with all of the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. So, I mean, this is kind of like your best case scenario for like meeting with your father-in-law, right? Meeting with your in-laws. This is a great situation where Moses says, "Hey, father-in-law, let me tell you about what God's doing in my life and around us." And Jethro's response is, "Wow, I want to offer sacrifices to God. I want to connect with this God. It's really opened my eyes to who God is." So it's kind of the way we'd love for all of our family dinners to go, right? Like, minus the sacrificing an animal part. But definitely the like eating in the presence of God with the elders is pretty amazing, right? So things are going great until the next morning. Because the next morning, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, comes with him to work, right? And the entire day goes by, and Jethro watches Moses. Moses is sitting as judge over Israel. And all day long, people are coming to Moses for help. They're come to Moses to settle a dispute, to fix a problem. All day long, Moses is at the center of the world for all of these people. And then this is what happens after that. In verse 14, when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning until evening?" And then Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." So Jethro says, "Why are you doing this?" And Moses says, "Because they need me. There's a need, and I have to help. I have to fix their problems. They've got all these problems. I'm the only one that can fix them. I go talk to God, and then I tell them all what God's up to, and that's what's happening. If I don't do that, they don't get help, and God doesn't show up." So this is the point where I really start to connect with Moses, like particularly right now. For many of us, it's easy in a state of life that feels like a crisis to focus on ourselves, right? Like, Think about all the questions people have asked you. Think about all the conversations you have had over the last couple of months. How many of your words and your sentences contain the phrase, well, I am feeling this, I am experiencing this, I'm anxious about this, I'm fearful of that, I'm wondering about this, I wish it would go this way, right? While it's important for us to keep in touch with what's going on inside of us, I think many of us fall into the Moses role in this story where we think it's our help, it's our perspective, it's our opinion that everybody else needs. It's a very me-centered approach to the world around us. And listen, I think it's really normal. I think it's the most normal thing in the world that when we find ourselves in a time of stress, we react with a me-centered approach. We're protective. It's about what's good for me. All right. Remember when people used to fly in airplanes, right? When you are on the airplane and they say, listen, if a crisis happens and masks fall from the ceiling, what do they tell you to do? Put your own mask on first before you help your seatmate, right? It is normal in crisis for us to say, I got to take care of myself. I got to think about myself before I can help everybody else. I get it. But what's beyond the immediate crisis? For many of us, we stay stuck in that, oh, I gotta take care of myself mentality first. And the longer we stay in that self-protective, seeking to engage the world on our term position, the more, as Jethro notices, this is bad for you and for everybody else. In fact, this is kind of what he says next, right? Moses' father-in-law replied, what you're doing is not good. You and all these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. So here's the lesson I think we learn in the desert, that we learn out of the mouth of Jethro, is that in the desert, there's an invitation for us to move from me to we. To move from a me-centered approach to the world and to myself, to a we-centered approach to how we experience the desert. It's the same invitation that Jethro gives Moses. He confronts him and he says, why are you doing this? And Moses says, because they need me. And he says, but this isn't about you, right? In verse 19, he continues, listen to me now, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they're to live and they are to behave. So listen, man, like you are the leader for this thing. I get it. And you've got to lean into that. In verse 21, but he says, select capable men from all the people. Men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide for themselves. This will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all of Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands and hundreds and fifties and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times and the difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided for themselves. What are you doing, Moses? He says, like, this is a terrible way to approach the world when you're in the desert. This me-centered thing that you're doing, this I am God's mouthpiece, it's my opinion, it's my way of thinking, it's my actions that are needed everywhere. He's like, that's a terrible idea. The desert invites us to move from me towards we. It invites us to consider that our experience in the desert is not about my rights, it's not about what I want, it's not even necessarily about what I'm experiencing. It invites us to say, if that's where you're hanging out, you're probably going to stay stuck. It's about making the move to what's best for others. So, what does it mean for you to be of service to other people? What does it mean for you to be good news to other people? Jethro gives Moses a whole system that he can use to be of service for others. And here's kind of what I notice behind Jethro's advice in the system. I noticed three things that we can take from this conversation between a father-in-law and a son-in-law. And here's the first thing I notice. If we want to make the move from me to we need to think about ourselves differently. We have to make a mental switch in how we think about ourselves. So I've had some conversations with people recently about, man, our life feels chaotic and jobs are changing. And, we had these conversations about perhaps taking a role leading one of our missional communities. And they were struggling to say, I don't know how to deal with that. And I played kind of a challenge card with them. And I just said, this is not the way it has to go. But I want to encourage you to think about, what ways are you using to disciple other people? At the end of the day, our lives can have different rhythms, our lives can be affected by different things, but we still have to answer the question, how am I discipling someone else? How am I choosing to do that on purpose? It doesn't mean it has to be anything big, it doesn't mean you have to do anything monumental, but the invitation to move from me to we is an invitation to give your attention to whoever's around you right now. Maybe it's whoever's interrupting you. Maybe it's the people in your family. Maybe it's just the people you find in presence around you, right? Give your attention to another person rather than to your own self. So that's kind of our step one, right? Is we need to think about ourselves differently in order to engage this move from me to we. The second thing we have to do is we have to think about others purposefully. We have to think intentionally about other people. I love the way that Jethro gives Moses a strategy, because he says, listen, all of these people matter. And I want you to care about all of these people, but you can't care about each of them. You can't impact each of them. So Moses, you got to pick a lane. In fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to gather people that you're going to invest in and appoint them as leaders to invest in other people, right? So Moses, pick a lane. Pick who you're going to invest in, because you can't invest in everyone. Some of us know we can't invest in everybody, so it paralyzes us and we invest in nobody. Some of us know we can't help and invest in everybody, but we try to anyway, and it burns us out like Moses. But the lesson we learn from this conversation is be strategic. Think purposefully about others. The best way I have to talk about this with people is to ask, who are the persons of peace in your life that God is putting around you? Who are the people that you like and they like you? Who are the people that seem to respond to you? That might be the way we realize, oh, that's a person I should be investing in, who I should be attending to, who I should be looking out for, and just maybe even just checking up on, right? All of that activity helps us to make the move from me-centered to we-centered. But that's what brings us to the third step, is it's good for us to think differently about ourselves. It's important for us to think purposefully about others, but it doesn't mean anything unless we take this third step, which is we have to take an action. We have to take an action. I mean, if you listen to that story, what does Moses do? In verse 24, Moses listened, and then he did everything this guy asked him to do. Moses did not overthink this. Right? Moses did not have to come up with a great strategy or a plan. He just says, okay, I'm just going to do. I'm going to take action. After he chose people, he set them to work. That's what it means to be the church. Right? That's what's so important about even the season that we're in, is that all of us get to be the church. It's not about me or any particular person who's leading the church. It's about us being the church. We look to someone else and we act. No one right now needs another email in their inbox, do they? No one else needs really more of our thoughts posted online. I've got millions of those options around me all the time. What I don't have is someone who's picking up the phone and saying, hey man, how you doing? That's what our world needs now. That's what the people who God is putting on your heart and your mind, that's what the invitation is, to move from me to we. I don't need to share my thoughts as much as attend to where you are and ask how you're doing. So don't get stuck overthinking about it. The third step is take an action, right? If we fail to make the move from me-centered living and thinking to we-centered living and thinking, I think we're missing out on a really important lesson in the desert. I think we're missing out on something that will change inside of us. So change the way we think about ourselves and focus on what's in front of you and who's in front of you and how you can impact them, how you can take a step to be of service to someone else. In fact, as we end today, I want to just ask you to do something. I want to invite you to write down the name of one person God is bringing to your mind in this conversation. Don't even overthink it. It might be the person right next to you. It might be a person you haven't even connected with in a while. It doesn't have to be a huge mountain to climb. Who is the person God is bringing to mind right now? And what is one simple way you can attend towards their needs today? That's it. The more and more we make that a regular practice, the more and more we transform with this lesson from the desert. If we don't make it a practice to move from me to we might never make it out of the desert space and we'll find ourselves overwhelmed in the midst of it. Let's pray together. Lord God, it is easy for us to think about our own needs, our own opinions, our own desires and wants. God, in the midst of crisis and uncertainty, it's the most natural thing for us to do. But God, I hear the invitation you give us that in the midst of difficult in-between space, there's a move we can make. And so God, I pray that you give us the wisdom and the courage to make that move. I pray that you give us the opportunity, that you'd spark in our hearts the willingness to open ourselves to other people and to engage others as a way of moving from me to we. God, we are all in the same storm, though we are in different boats. God, we are all isolated in many ways, but we are not alone. So God, give us the opportunity to move away from our own selves and towards others in this season. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close today, I want to leave you with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face to you and give you his peace. Amen.